Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. Welcome once again to the Reverend Jake Lehman as he begins sharing in our services and leading us in worship. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory hymn 484. Great God, your love has called us here.
Our call to prayer comes from Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord's help. He answered me, and he set me free from all my fears. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, your mercy is everlasting and your faithfulness endures from age to age. On this holy day, we come before you with open hearts, open minds, and open eyes that we might see and know and experience your abundance and love. May you make us receptive to your generosity so that our lives might overflow with kindness towards others. As we gather, may the spirit of hospitality fill this holy place and stay with us throughout our lives, that we might welcome the stranger, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and heal the sick. We give thanks and we celebrate the gift of life and the gift of community that we experience in and through one another, and above all, in Jesus Christ our Lord. May our worship reflect God's boundless generosity towards us. Gracious and merciful God, we come before you with humility and reverence, acknowledging your majesty and power. You are the creator of the universe, the source of all life and wisdom. Your love and mercy endure forever. We confess that we have not always lived according to your will. We have sinned in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. We have fallen short of your glory and our attitude toward you and in our love for one another. We have failed at times to share generously with others. We have failed to show hospitality to our brothers and sisters who can seem so different, or those who challenge us in their beliefs or their behaviors. Holy God, forgive our transgressions. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to turn away from our sinful ways and to walk in the path of righteousness. Help us to know the gift of your forgiveness in our lives, and then to live lives that reflect that gift of endless forgiveness to all creation. May your Holy Spirit guide us and empower us to live lives that honor you. Give us the strength to resist temptation and to choose your way of hope and of peace. We thank you for your unfailing love and mercy, and for the gift of resurrection and a new life in your name. May your grace and mercy be glorified in our lives, that we might truly share your love and care with all the world. All these things we ask in the name of the one who conquered death, that we might have life in his name, Jesus Christ our Lord. And join together with all the faithful as one family, we pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Just some intimations to share with you. There'll be a further time of fellowship in the parish halls following the service, and all are warmly invited to gather there. There'll be a service in Eccles Court on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Next weekend, as part of Stirling Doors Open Days, the church will be open from 12 noon until 2 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. And the purpose is that people can come and have a walk around the church, and there'll be a few of us here to share something of the history of the church and also about what we do today. So that's the church open day next Saturday and Sunday. A reminder that requests for prayer can be attached to the prayer tree in the McMichael Chapel, and requests can also be submitted via the church website. There'll be a further time of prayer following the Sunday service next week. The Tuesday group will begin the new session a week on Tuesday with an afternoon tea at 2 o'clock in the parish halls. There'll be a presbytery Songs of Praise service in Dunblane Cathedral on Sunday the 5th of October at 7 o'clock. The moderator of the General Assembly will be in attendance and all will be welcome. Visitors and adherents are invited to uplift a copy of the latest edition of the church newsletter, The Parishioner. These can be uplifted from either vestibule of the church. And a reminder that there is a box for used stamps in the main vestibule. I wonder what comes to your mind when I mention the word power. Wonder what comes to your mind when I mention the word power. Would anyone like to tell us what you think power might mean?
Strength.
Strength. I heard someone here saying strength. Yes, power, something. Strength, which could be physical strength, someone very fit and strong, physically strong, but also strength in other ways too. I think someone said something here.
Control.
Control, yes, power. Some people use their power to control others. Anything else?
Darkness.
Sorry now.
Darkness.
The power of darkness, yes, of course. There is a power, isn't there? And the darkness is coming down earlier and earlier, isn't it? There's different types of power, and power can be used in a good way, but it can also be used in a bad way. Think of some of the leaders in the world today. Think of the leader of North Korea. Well, you think now he's going to mention another leader. I did, but when we've got an American minister with us, I thought I better go gay canny. But if you think of the leader of North Korea, I can never pronounce his name, so I'm not even going to try this morning. But he has what's called absolute power. He does not tolerate any opposition whatsoever. So the vast majority of the people of North Korea, they live in fear. And they certainly wouldn't criticize their leader in public. Otherwise, something bad could happen to them. They would disappear. I hope he's not watching the service this morning. If I don't turn up next week, you'll know what's happened. So that's a bad use of power, isn't it? To control. But there's also a good use of power. If we think of the late president of South Africa, Nelson Mandela. Now, he was in no ways absolutely perfect. Who is? But he used his power as president to bring about positive change and an end to apartheid. And that was a wonderful thing to do. So there's a bad use of power, but there's also a good use of power. When we read about Jesus, we learn about the power that he has. Here's two examples. He has power over nature. You remember the story of the time when Jesus and the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus fell asleep, and a storm got up, and the disciples became frightened. And who can blame them? But then they approached Jesus and they woke him up, and Jesus spoke, and the wind died down and the sea became calm. And the disciples, well, they were gobsmacked. They couldn't believe what had happened, and they asked, who is this who has such power over the wind and the waves? But we also read that Jesus has power over sickness and death. Last Sunday, we read about the woman who had the hemorrhage of blood for 12 years, and she touched Jesus, and she was healed. And there's the story of Jairus that we'll be thinking about today. Jairus, whose daughter died, and Jesus restored her to life. The wonderful thing, my friends, is that Jesus' power is still at work today, and it is available to you and to me. Because he is ruler over all things, he has power to watch over us. And in the storms of sickness and sadness, he can give us his peace. Such is his power. But there's one thing more I want to say about the power that Jesus has, and that is he wants to share it with us so that we can continue his loving and saving work in the world today. We cannot do that in our own power, in our own strength. We need the help and the power that Jesus gives. So let us be open to Jesus' power today and every day. It is a wonderful power, a power that is far greater than the power of all the leaders in the world put together. We're going to sing our hymn. It's 351, hymn 351, 351, Jesus' Hands Were Kind Hands.
The first reading this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 to 24, and can be found on page 298 of the Pew Bible. 1 Kings chapter 17, starting at verse 17. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse, and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is truth." And the second reading is from Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56, and can be found on page 58 of the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 8, from Luke chapter 8, yeah. "Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me.' Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.' While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. 'Your daughter is dead,' he said. 'Don't bother the teacher anymore.' Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, 'Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed.' When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and moaning for her. 'Stop wailing,' Jesus said. 'She is not dead, but asleep.' They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead, but he took her by the hand and said, 'My child, get up.' Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened." Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. We sing the hymn 583, hymn 583, "Spirit Divine, Attend Our Prayers."
Thank you.
Last Sunday we thought about the woman with the chronic illness who was healed by Jesus when she reached out and touched him. Today we're thinking about Jairus, whose story is intertwined with that of the sick woman. The sick woman and Jairus were so very, very different. And yet, they were also similar in that they recognized their need for Jesus. So what do we know about Jairus? Well, he was a religious man. He was president of the synagogue. That meant he would have been involved in the ordering of public worship and the administration of the synagogue's affairs. To put it succinctly, Jairus was an important figure. He had done well for himself. He had reached the top of the ladder and would have been well respected within the community. In all probability, given his status, he would also have been wealthy and had a good lifestyle. And there's nothing wrong with that. But alas, when sickness came to his home and his 12-year-old daughter lay dying, he recognized his deficiency. And he realized that despite his social standing and prosperity, what he had was not enough. In 1921, Franklin D. Roosevelt, you will have heard of him, Jake, he was making a name for himself on the political scene in the United States. But alas, when he was only in his 30s, he contracted an illness which left him paralyzed from the waist down. Others in his situation may have decided to retire quietly from public life, to throw in the towel, as we might say, but not Roosevelt. He swallowed his pride, and he was not afraid to ask for help in order that he could continue his political career. And that's what he did. And in the fullness of time, he became the president. Roosevelt's ability to ask for help was not a sign of weakness. It was quite the opposite. It was a sign of strength. I believe we see something similar, but more in Jairus, not the president of a country, but of the synagogue. Jesus was not favored by the rulers of the synagogue. They did not like him. Indeed, there is speculation that at the point we're thinking about, Jesus had actually been banned from the synagogue. The doors were closed to him. And yet, what did Jairus do? In his hour of need, he pocketed his pride. And he went to Jesus and he asked for help. Try and picture the scene in your mind's eye. People were gathered around Jesus, listening to him. And then suddenly, not only does Jairus appear, he throws himself at Jesus' feet. The people would not have believed it had they not seen it for themselves. Here was Jairus, the one they looked up to, the one many perhaps envied because of his privileged position. And where was he? He was on the ground, pleading with Jesus for help. Isn't it true that many of us do not like to acknowledge our need for help? I see this in many people in the course of my daily work. And perhaps I especially see it in those who are older and less able. They wish to protect their independence, and I get that. Of course I do. I'll be old myself one day, and I'll maybe be the same. But sometimes, asking for help and receiving it can make such a difference. It can enhance one's quality of life and make things so much better and easier. Those who are parents will know only too well how Jairus felt. Isn't it true that often children, when they're young, they look at their parents and they think, Mum and Dad can do anything. If something's broken, Dad will fix it. If something's messed up, Mum will sort it out. But sometimes parents find themselves in a situation where they feel absolutely helpless. And that can be especially true if their child is sick. The worry, the anxiety can be quite overwhelming. That's how it was for Jairus. His only child was not only sick, but close to death. And he couldn't handle it. His religion, his position, his wealth did not offer any relief whatsoever. So he went to Jesus and begged him to come to his house. I don't know if you'll agree with me when I say this, but it seems to me that some children today get absolutely everything they want. The latest toy, or computer game, or smartphone, or luxury brand clothing. And some would say, well, such children are privileged. I would question that. Privileged children are surely those whose parent or parents pray for them, love and care for them, and because they love and care and want to set a good example, that can sometimes mean saying no when they ask for something. We do not know what Jairus' daughter was like and whether or not she got everything she wanted. But this we do know, Jairus loved her so much that he was willing to risk the ridicule and mockery of the people on her behalf. Here was love and care in action. Here was a good parent. And I have no doubt Jairus would have prayed fervently as he went to Jesus. And what happened? Jesus listened to him. And as Jesus began to make his way to Jairus' house, a woman, the woman we thought about last Sunday, approached him and caused a delay. Poor Jairus. What must he have thought? The clock was ticking. Time was precious. This woman, she got in the way. And then came the news he dreaded. His daughter was dead. No parent should ever have to endure the death of a child. I can't begin to imagine what that would be like. But I do have sympathy with the widow of Zarephath, who, following the death of her son, lashed out in grief and in anger. And as she did so, she must have rued the day that she ever met Elijah, and she must have blamed herself for acceding to his request that she should feed him. Isn't it a trait within human nature to blame someone else or to blame oneself when things go wrong? Poor Jairus, how must he have felt? Grief that his daughter had died, anger at the woman who had interrupted Jesus and got in the way, regret that he didn't go to Jesus earlier. Such feelings would be entirely understandable. But do you remember what Jesus said? Do not fear. Only believe. In other words, Jesus was saying to Jairus, don't worry. I'm in control. To his great credit, Jairus did not walk away. Even though he'd been given the worst news a parent could be given, and even though told by a friend, do not trouble the master any longer, Jairus remained with Jesus. He stuck by him. He took him at his word. Do not fear, only believe. Someone has said, faith is believing when it seems totally impossible to believe. I think that's true. Martin Luther King Jr. faced constant threats and challenges during the civil rights movement. Yet he remained steadfast in his faith, his belief in justice and equality, guided by his faith, helped him lead a movement that was to change the course of history. I'm sure as we sit here in church or at home, we can all think of people we have personally known who not only continued to have faith, but drew strength from it in the most challenging of times. Jairus had such a faith. Even in his darkest hour, when his heart was breaking, he continued to believe that Jesus could help him. And his faith turned to reality as he and his wife watched Jesus take their daughter by the hand and restore her to life. Do not fear. Only believe. But what does this have to say to us today? I believe that in this wonderful miracle, there are pointers to help us as we seek to live as Christian people. Firstly, let us not be slow to take our needs to Jesus and to share with him our innermost hopes and fears. Let us not be slow to do that. Secondly, let us trust that Jesus' power is greater than the challenges that can confront us and the circumstances we sometimes find ourselves in. Don't be slow to take our needs to Jesus. Trust his power, for it is great. And thirdly and finally, let us remember who Jesus is. He is the one who triumphed over death, the old enemy. And he is the one who restores us to life, new life, life in all its fullness. Life that shall endless be. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We sing the hymn 562, through the love of God our Saviour, all will be well.
We come before God with our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. Eternal God, we gather with grateful hearts to thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us and upon all people. We are surrounded by your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness, and they have gone before us every step of the way. We thank you for the gift of life, life that we experience in and through one another, and life that we witness throughout all creation. We thank you that your divine image is imprinted on all people and throughout all the natural world, so that we are constantly reminded of your unfailing presence and your unending love. We thank you for the gift of healing, healing of hearts, healing of illnesses, healing of relationships. You are the one who brings life out of death and the one who continues to bring health and wholeness where we are broken. We thank you that through Jesus Christ, you make us a part of that work, that we are freed by your grace to extend a healing hand in a world where much is broken and in need of your care. We thank you for the food on our tables, the roofs over our heads, and the opportunities that lie before us and behind us. Help us to remember that in all things, every good gift comes from you. As we enjoy the company of this assembly in this blessed space, may we also be aware of those that gather in other places, in other traditions, under other roofs, both here in Sterling and in other faraway places. And may we be continually stricken with the reality that we are all one, together held in your love. May our hearts be filled with gratitudes and our spirits be lifted by the hope that we have in you. In all things, in all circumstances, in good times as well as difficult times, may we never forget that you are the God who is faithful, you are the God who is kind, and you are the God who is love. Holy God, we come before you with requests and concerns for all those who are in need. We ask that you bring healing to those who suffer in mind or body or in spirit. We ask that they might know and feel the truth of your presence. Give comfort to those who have experienced loss. Give hope to those whose spirit falters. Give companionship to those who feel alone, and give peace to those who live in fear. We pray for the healing of creation. Where drought is present, bring water. Where rain is abundant, bring sunshine. Where waterways are polluted and lands are exploited, help us to curb our abundance and care for the world that you have made through sustainable living and just legislation. In a world where war seems to be ever present, bring your healing hand of peace. Guide the leaders of the world to seek not the good of themselves and their positions or political ambitions, but the good of those they govern and the good of all people. Raise up leaders who care for the vulnerable, and strengthen and sustain advocates and organizations that care for the poor and the marginalized. Empower us to use the gifts that we have been given and the power that you grant us to share your healing love with a world that is in need. Where fear has taken root in our lives or in the world, comfort us with your healing presence. Help us to know that you will never leave us or forsake us, but that even through a simple touch of your garment, we might also be healed. We give thanks for all those who have gone before us and for the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. May we know that in you we are never alone. Unite us in the fellowship of your Spirit, that by your love and grace we might be one as you are one. Heavenly Father, we entrust these prayers to you, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our healer and our friend. Amen. We sing hymn 512, 512. To God be the glory, great things he has done.
Go in the peace of God, believing that all shall be well, and the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you this day and even forevermore.